Hey, welcome to the Ryan Ragone Show on the Believe Network and Draft Network. I'm here with Mitchell Agude and Caleb Johnson. You know, it's been a long time since we last got together. Obviously, you know, some things have changed. We're in a new spot. You know, we're not on Zoom no more, so hope y'all like the setup. But with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get started. We're here at Golden Touch Cuts on the University of Miami campus. And, you know, first thing I always like to start with is, you know, your experiences in life, like going from the beginning, you know, basically your journey, you know, the upbringing. Yep. And I know both of y'all are from like the third best state, you know, in the country.
Third best.
Why y'all laughing? Texas is one, Florida's two, and then I guess California could be three. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm gonna let you say that.
Cali
man.
Number one. I'll take Cali over everything.
Cali's number one.
It's not even really an argument.
Yeah, I mean, y'all could like compete with like New York or something like that for like the third spot.
Talking about New York.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's up to y'all in New York.
I ain't gonna start.
But no. So growing up, when did y'all both start playing football? Mitch, I'll go with you first.
I mean, I started playing football probably in middle school. Like, I think I started in seventh grade, and then after that, high school, JUCO.
Caleb, what about you?
I started playing when I was, six, you know, just with a flag and everything. Then started Pop Warner like sixth grade and playing since then.
Okay. You know, my dad was a little league coach for my older brothers. And so he kind of got me in there a little early. Like I was probably like maybe four and I was already playing with all the older kids. But no, growing up, where were you from in California?
Corona, California.
And where were you?
Man, yeah, they both in the Inland Empire. They call the IE. It's like 30 minutes apart.
Okay. Yeah. Y'all's high schools, how was that? You know, I know California football isn't, you know, something crazy or nothing, but I'm sure it was okay.
I mean, what's it called? I went to Santiago High School, but what's it called? Centennial High School across the street. They put California on the map, so you can talk to them about
talk, talk about high your football. High school, though.
Hey, all right, my high school, they had me playing corner.
They had me playing corner
senior year, so that's all I got to say about my high school, for real, but I was playing corner.
That's all you need to hear about that program.
It. But, hey, you know, we level up, man. Level up.
Wait, so what school did you say that put, you know, your town on the map?
Centennial.
I ain't never heard of Centennial, so.
You heard of Centennial.
I mean, I heard like St. John Bosco and teams like that.
But they beat St. John Bosco.
Oh, they did? Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, so they might y'all might be like worth a little bit of something.
You got to read the front page, man. Like
front page.
You got to read the front page.
What about you, Caleb?
I went to Vista Marietta. We was pretty good, man. We go to our championship every year. We actually lost every year, but.
Wow.
We got there, though.
That sounds a bit depressing.
Low key was, man. 4 years in a row.
Yeah. 4 years in a row that's going tough. To champion. Y'all like the Buffalo Bills.
That's tough.
Yeah. No, my school, I actually can't say much. My high school wasn't that good. We still not that good, so.
So you just talking.
So you talking.
I just think Texas football is just better than all other football. I mean, there's no really, like, comparison. You take the best teams in California, best teams in Florida. You play against, you know, Texas teams. I mean, there's no competition.
I don't think so, but.
What's the best team in California?
Either Mater Dei or Bosco, man. What you talking about?
Okay, y'all got two.
I think we just got
We got multiple. Like
we just got athletes all around California. I think that's what it is.
You say multiple. You said two schools. We probably have like at least at bare minimum like 20 teams that can compete with them.
All right, bro.
So the thing about Cali, it's not all about the high schools. Like they're just athletes out there. Like. The whole state. It's just athletes.
Well, we could go on and on about that, but tell me how was it like recruiting for y'all in high school?
Recruiting, I had Wyoming and Fresno State. Those are the only schools looking at me. And then I ended up being ineligible. I wasn't meeting my science requirements, so yeah.
You had to go to JUCO?
JUCO.
Okay.
Mine was really the same way. Went JUCO. Grades was not it. Was not really paying attention or really focused on the school part. And I was playing corner too, so like.
Yeah, that still blows my mind. You at corner, like.
I wasn't really playing my best football at the time, so.
Oh, I could guarantee you weren't playing your best at corner. I mean, you're an athlete. Yeah, you're an athlete now, but I don't know about it.
I still got picks, man.
Cover two.
I still got picks.
You had picks. You had any pick sixes?
No, I had
picks. Okay. I had a pick six in high school. I just say that, you know. You go watch it. It was pretty nice. About 50 yards. But so going to JUCO, how was y'all's experience there?
Man, I don't know. It's trenches, man.
It's really like everything that you hear about JUCO is really that. Like a lot of people out there, I feel like the only way people succeed in JUCO is just taking it as it is and just one day at a time, really. Because there's a lot in JUCO that can get you like. You know, just not feeling like it's worth it because you're just seeing how hard it is day by day. But like, if you really like, you know, believe in yourself, I feel like the people that believe in themselves are the always ones that, you know, see come up and come out. Because a lot of people, you know, it gets hard. You're not like really mentally tough or like stuff like that, and just don't want to. Just not disciplined. I feel like it's a lot about discipline, stuff like that, and because. People are not getting paid, you know. It's not like there's no NIL, JUCO. There's no, there's no scholarships, you know, stuff like that. Actually, in California, there's no scholarships. I don't know about.
Yeah, I know in California. My brother went to JUCO in California. He's at Santa Monica.
So, it's just, I feel like it's just, you just got to be focused, really, to get to make it out. Like, what do you think about that?
I mean, like you said, like, it was a lot. You know, it's not just the football part of it. It's really everything. Like, you have to be self-driven, like, completely. Like, you could, like, skip workouts. You could skip practice. Nobody's going to say nothing. It's really all, like, all inner drive. I think one of the reasons that makes it hard, too, is there's a lot of people that are just, at least in my experience, just, like, there, just not, you know, not focused. Like, there's just so many distractions and like things outside of football you gotta like handle. Like, definitely, when I first got there, I get to my house, my coach dropping me off, I'm thinking like, it's in Orange County, right? My JUCO, Fullerton College. I'm thinking it's gonna be like Orange County. You thinking like just nice, like, you know, beach. I don't know if you even heard of Orange County.
Yeah no, I know Orange County.
Yeah, but we get there, like, he pull in this alley, this way deep in this alley behind a gas station, this broken down house, and I'm like,
y'all going to a drug deal or what?
I'm like, coach, it's a trap, like, man. I'm like, why are we stopping here? You know what I mean? He's like, this is a house.
Yeah.
And like, that experience alone was just like, just crazy, man. I get in the house, this little broken eyes, like 13 people in there, man. Yeah. Like, it's
always
crazy. How many bedrooms?
Usually four bedrooms and like eight people, right? Or like,
so
like 12 people in there.
Louis, you know Louis the punter. Yeah. He went to San Francisco City College, I think it was called, something like that. And he was telling me he had like 15 people in a 2-bedroom house with one bathroom.
Man, yes.
Like he said that people were, there was bunk beds in there, right? And then like you had to share a bed too, like there was mattresses on the ground. He said it was the worst thing trying to get ready in the morning, like 15 people, one bathroom, like
just dealing with stuff like that, and then trying to like get football and school done just made everything so much. You had to be so locked in.
A lot of things
in.
Weighing on you.
Well, I guess y'all was locked in.
Yeah.
2 years of that, man, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, I feel like for me, it's just driven like, what drove me is just like just my purpose. I think it was just like, damn, like this is all I got right now. So I'm gonna give it my 100 type thing. Like,
so from JUCO, you went to Texas. I didn't know that until I read up on it. But yeah. So you went to Texas out of JUCO. Why did you or what offers did you have out of JUCO?
Out of JUCO, let me think. I low key had a lot. I had Texas. I had a lot of the Big 12, a lot of the Pac-12, some SEC, but I could pretty much go. I'm not even trying to talk. No, I didn't even have nothing in high school, but I could pretty much go
but JUCO,
anywhere you want.
JUCO, this man was, you should see his tape. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah, his tape's crazy.
So you was like that. I know you were the number 10 JUCO player like, coming out.
I had a real good season, man. I told you I locked in.
Okay. Yeah. So wait, how did you end up at Texas and then go to UCLA? Like you just, I know you were only there for a little bit and then you transferred.
So my last season at Fullerton, my JUCO, I ended up tearing my shoulder.
Okay.
And I was playing at first and then I ended up, my coaches just told me to sit out because they didn't want to see me just keep hurting it.
Yeah.
So at first they thought it was something less. I thought it was just like stingers or something, but I get it checked out. I fully tore my labrum and my rotator cuff. But so I was still fine, you know what I mean? I thought it would be a problem with my recruiting, but it didn't. They was cool with it, most of the schools. So I get my surgery, I go to Texas, and then I'm at Texas, you know what I mean? It's like supposed to take at least 5 months to recover from. I start playing after like 3, and my shoulder, like, I can't even extend all the way, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But I'm still doing pretty solid, you know what I mean? Then I get to summer ball. I ended up re-injuring it. And after that, I just kind of felt like my relationship kind of fell with my coach.
Yeah, and you just felt like, you know, it's time. Maybe I need to just go somewhere else.
Okay. And then that's what ultimately led me to going to UCLA, just going back home, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Just see my people.
As you did, bro.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. You did, so how did you end up at UCLA?
I didn't really have that many offers coming out of JUCO, but I think, well, that's a crazy story. I was actually committed to Maryland at first. And then like 2 weeks later, cause I went to Nigeria like right after season and Maryland offered me. And then I went to after I came back from Nigeria, I went to the official visit, went to Maryland, got the scholarship, came back like 2 weeks later. They want to tell me, you actually can't be admitted here cause your grades are, like some of your classes don't like transfer over. So I was like, dang.
Wow.
Like my whole like mindset changed because I was like, man, I just gotta, like, I'm D1 now, just came out of JUCO, like I'm D1. And then boom, my dreams was kind of like dropped off for a second. And then like a month later, I was just training and just trying to like just see what the next step was.
Yeah.
And then my coach hits me up saying that UCLA is looking for a defensive end, and he's like, I'm gonna hit you up with one of the recruiters. And this is when Jalen Phillips just left to Miami.
Oh, so, okay, yeah, so, yeah. So
Jalen just left to Miami, and I pulled it, and then that got me an offer to UCLA.
That's funny how life works.
That's crazy, right? And then now Jalen's at what's called Miami, and now I'm here in Miami, and it's just.
So
I'm just following him right now.
So how was UCLA? I mean, obviously there's reasons y'all's transfer, but you know, how was y'all's experience there?
It was good, man.
It was really good, actually.
Yeah.
I can really say I loved my experience with my teammates. You feel me? Like the games that we had. Like it was a good time for sure.
No, it was a good experience for sure. You know what I mean? Got there it was COVID season, was our first season.
Oh yeah.
So that kind of sucked, but
y'all weren't even gonna play that year, right?
Nah,
California was locked down.
It went from not playing to playing
to not playing
to not playing, and then like on camp.
Yeah.
I don't even think we had camp. I really think that must have been nice.
We had like mini workouts.
it was crazy. like, we was doing weird. Like these weird circuit workouts. Like,
social distancing workouts. Like
so, we had some of that too. I'm not gonna lie, but. No camp sounds amazing. I mean, y'all know fall camp. Fall camp sucks. I mean, it absolutely sucks. No camp is going into the season.
Honestly, I'm not going to lie. It was kind of nice.
Because we just pulled up.
Did y'all even like practice?
No, we practiced. We practiced for like 2 weeks.
But it wasn't like camp.
Like how
it was just like game prep.
It was camp, but like we didn't go to the facility to like meet. We just had meetings on Zoom and stuff like that. So it wasn't really camp like that, you know.
Okay. We did like the same thing then. So we had fall camp practices and stuff like that. I forgot how exactly it went, but our meetings. I remember most days, not all days, but most days, we would have practice in the morning and then go straight home, and we're on Zoom, like for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So, okay, okay. Well, how was y'all's second season then?
Second season.
I don't know if y'all still dealt with COVID. Y'all were still locked down, right? Or how was that?
No, not really. We still had like COVID precautions, but we weren't like locked down anymore.
COVID hit us to the end.
It hit us at the end. Our bowl game got canceled too. We had too many players get COVID.
Against who? Who's away?
We were playing against Washington State. Yeah, we would have blew them out. Would have even been.
Would have been close.
Yeah. Come on.
COVID hit us up at the end too.
Nah, it was bad. Like did y'all actually like go to, where's your bowl at?
No, we didn't go. It was in El Paso, Texas. Thank God we didn't go.
See, I think it was in San Diego, so it was just a drive.
It was like a two hour.
Wait, so y'all were there and it got canceled?
Yeah. No, we was there. Like we
like,
was
it was
ready.
Game day.
It was game day and it got canceled.
We had our pregame like meeting like for the game.
Yeah.
Wait, y'all in pregame meeting like about to like play.
Yeah.
But like it didn't feel like it was gonna play.
Oh, so
like,
y'all
like we knew.
Because we come in the walkthroughs, one dude's gone, and then like the next day the whole D line.
No, it was a domino effect.
So for us, I remember our offensive line. We were looking around like, "Hey, bro, what's his name?" Like, oh, we can't say.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
That's how they be doing.
What do you mean you can't say? Like, we already knew what it meant, but we were all just like, oh, heck no. Yeah. You were hanging out with him yesterday.
Yeah, checking everyone.
No, that person's gone. Yeah. Like, that person's gone.
We were just dropping.
Exactly. Dropping left to right. But what sucked is that we went home for a week, right? Or something like that. We went home, and then we're going to come back for bowl game practice. Mm-hmm. Something of that sort. But when we got back, it was like, all right, we got a week, and then we have the game. Tell me why we fly all the way back. We're there for one day, one single day, and then it gets canceled. I'm like, so I just went all the way here.
Oh, he was in Houston.
Yeah, I was in Houston. So I had to come all the way back just crazy. For one day and it get canceled.
That's crazy.
I was so, man, I was pissed. Man. Oh, I was pissed. At that point, I was like, all right, yeah, you know what? I want to play. Yeah. At first, I was like, man, like, I don't know. Like, all this stuff's going on. Like, these people keep going down. Ahead. Yeah. We didn't end up. We had one bowl game practice. It was probably the funniest thing I think I've ever seen in my life. It was nothing like a practice. We were all in shorts and t-shirts, like spread out so far from each other, trying to run like a practice. I'm like, Coach, where do I even fit? Like, this guy's pulling and he's pulling 5 yards away from the guard. Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was a crazy season. Y'all had a pretty good season, though. Y'all both started about 10 games in 2021, right?
Yeah.
I know you, at one point, led the country in fumble?
Oh, forced fumbles. Yeah, I think I tied.
Tied, okay. Yeah.
Like 4-2 games or something like that.
Okay, so you were going crazy.
It was a good season, man. We had the talent. Like, we should have went to the championship.
Sure. Our squad was so stacked.
Yeah, we were stacked. I don't know what happened.
Well, honestly, I didn't. Looking at y'all, like, because I'm a college football fan. Like, I'll watch all the games. Y'all ain't looked that too good to me. I'm just.
We would have for sure beat Miami last year. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Nah, I don't think so, bro. Y'all part of this team now, so it's okay. We ain't gonna talk about that. I wouldn't, argue about that, but
I'm just saying our squad was pretty tough. Our squad was definitely tough. Pretty tough. We had how many draft picks?
Like six.
Six. Yeah, six or six, seven.
This is like where, like in the video, they would put cricket sounds, because then like y'all asked me like, oh, how many y'all have?
Just one.
We had one draft pick last year.
Hey, one. But that's gonna change.
Oh yeah, it's gonna change for sure.
It's gonna change.
100% is gonna change.
That's gonna change this year for sure.
So getting on that, what made y'all choose Miami? Like y'all had other schools, obviously. Mm. Like was it the opportunity here? Y'all saw what Cristobal was building, yeah. Things like that. Like,
I think really because, Cristobal was at Oregon and, UCLA and Oregon always play with each other. But I think for me, it was just like seeing him, like his relationship with the teammates or the team and just his like overall, like, intensity of like he wants to win games. You could tell like he's not playing football. Like he's trying to win football games, mm-hmm. So I think what got me over here is, first of all, the staff. Our staff is crazy. We got Hall of Famers left and right on our coaching staff. I think Coach Chris Ball's just attitude about winning. Like, when he called me, like, he gave me a game plan, like, bro, like, this is what I want to do, and this is how we're going to do it. Like, I bet. So I think just him, the authority that he brings to the table, I think that's what made me, like, man, Miami's the spot.
Definitely the staff, man. Just from playing them, like, you could tell it was a very well-coached team. They came on top twice when we played them. And I don't even know how. Like,
no, that's the crazy. I don't even know how they beat us. I swear our team is better than. I don't want to say like, oh, I wish we could or woulda coulda, but like, if you look at the draft picks and everything, like, we have more draft picks than Oregon, but they just probably just like outcultured us or coached us or something. But it starts with the head guy, and Coach Cristobal just got it. So I think that's why.
I don't know, but just from that alone, and then talking to them on a visit, just seeing how like their mentality. And like what they could do for sure. You know what I mean? That pretty much sold me after talking to the staff.
I will say, I mean, the staff that we have is absolutely insane.
Yeah, insane.
Like, we really have like Hall of Fame coaches, it's Hall crazy. Of Fame players, like left and right. Like, it's nothing like new to me to just be, or, you know, a few years ago, as a kid, thinking like, hey, you know what, I'm just gonna be chilling at practice with Ed Reed, just talking ball, just like chopping it up.
Yeah.
Or now we're not even talking ball. We just, you know, BSing, like talking whatever. Like, it's a crazy thing. Like, it's so normal to us.
It is.
It's so normal to us, but like,
yeah, you know, rare. That's very rare.
Like, Ed Ogeron's in our meeting room. Yeah. We're just chilling with him, talking with him, like he's our boy, you know, like,
yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Then we got Coach Jason Taylor, JT, stuff like that. It's just like,
man.
You know, we got everybody on this. Mike, Charlie Strong.
Yeah.
Like, is. Charlie Strong's our position coach.
Oh no, it really doesn't like, make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, the staff they build around here is absolutely amazing. I mean, if I was a recruit, just like anything, right, there's no other place I would rather go, you know?
Yeah.
100%. So, y'all both coming in here, I like to think that the culture and everything, like, what was the shock from it, like, coming from a different program, like, to hear was like the heat and stuff like that. Like, do you think that added, you know, a portion to it? Like, how much harder our workouts are and stuff like that?
A lot of you, the heat is crazy.
The heat is completely different.
The heat is crazy. Like, that's, man.
They don't play around with this heat stuff.
I don't know.
For real.
I love that story that Coach Steele said the other day.
Yeah.
The official visits.
Official visit, yeah.
That story,
that is
hilarious. It's so true.
No, nah, it was for sure.
that was one of the best stories I think I've ever heard.
Nah, but
I'm not gonna say it.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, that's his story to tell. It's probably, you know, a lot of people have heard it, but that was a funny story.
It's true. But
no, I mean, the heat out here coming from LA, like, you're in all this humidity. I mean, it's raining during practice, but it's sunny outside.
That just makes it more harder, too.
Yeah, I mean, just we're over here soaking, the sun just beaming on us.
Sweating just nonstop.
But I think that helps build, like, our culture of just, like, it doesn't matter what's thrown at us.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how we feel. Like,
I mean,
we're
yeah,
just going to out-tough you and outwork,
sure.
outwork you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Definitely had to, like, definitely adjust, adapt, like, coming from Cali. Like, because we just have dry heat, and over here is with the humidity plus the heat. So, like, in the beginning, I remember just, like, dang, like feeling, like, heat just absorbed my whole body. I'm like, damn, like. I'm tired in his warm-ups right now. Like
you're in the warm-up.
No, it's flex
I'd
right now.
I'm drenched in sweat.
Like, I'm drenched in sweat, and it's flex.
Just
like,
walk
damn.
Outside.
Bro, walking to class, like, you got to bring a towel or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's hot. Like, you can't walk to class without sweating. But no, like, one practice, I lost, like, 7.5, 8 pounds. Like,
oh, same.
In one practice. Like, the heat here
hydration.
Is different.
Hydration is key.
But having one off season, or I guess one summer in that and fall camp, you know, obviously it helped build y'all as players. What is y'all's personal expectations, like, for the team and for y'allself? You know, you don't have to say anything crazy, obviously, like, but, you know, what's something that y'all – goals, I guess.
I mean, my goal is very simple. Like, I just got to be the best version of me. Like, every play, every rep, every game, I just got to bring Mitchell Agude out. And the purest form of Mitchell Agudé is just someone that's nonstop and doesn't quit. That's what I got to bring up.
I just got to be the best version of myself too, man. Like, to really just do what I can to be a leader and do my job and help us win games. I expect our defense to be, our team to be very good this year.
Yeah,
100%. Sure. 100%. I think y'all are real perfect additions for our team. Like, honestly, just me, like, overlooking football and overlooking our team and saying, you know what? What's something that we need? Like, something that'll help us. Not just, like, the position-wise I'm talking about, as a player and as a person. I think y'all, like, really, like, stepped in and, like, it's part of what we needed as a team.
Appreciate that.
So, there was something funny, you know, looking at y'all stories. And we talked about it earlier, but so y'all grew up around 30, 45 minutes from each other, right? Y'all went to high school around 30, 45 minutes from each other.
Yeah.
Then in JUCO, y'all went, you know, to school around 45 minutes from each other.
Yeah, we was rivals.
No, we actually played.
Oh, y'all played then.
We don't got to talk about what we played, but we was rivals, though.
Like, we can talk about that game, man.
Y'all played each other. Hold on. Okay, no, obviously, he won, right?
No, listen. You don't gotta tell about the story.
I want to know.
Listen, bro, our coach. Wait, hold on, hold on. Our coach was suspended that game. Our strength coach. Think about Coach Feld not being here for a full week.
We gotta play a stage game. I just want to say what happened.
I'm not
SoCal championship.
Man, RCC, stand up, man. Stand up. RCC, stand up, man.
Don't let this 14 dude talk. 77 to 14.
That's embarrassing, bro. I don't care what you say. There's one strength coach. I don't care. A strength coach ain't going to make up for 50
coach
points.
Tell him, man. Coach Penn, hey, if Coach Penn was there, hey, Coach Penn was there.
14 or
Coach Penn was there. It's, Coach Penn there is 50, probably 32 or something like that. RCC.
What is he
guaranteed.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you.
He's not making up 50 points.
Yeah, I'm telling
you. Dude, I don't care. Y'all got y'all's ass whooped.
You don't understand, bro.
77.
Everybody we put in.
The team's mindset wasn't there.
Everybody we put in turned up. Like, every single person.
All right,
it was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Next question.
It was like the definition of like.
I'm blown away.
Next question.
Wait, what happened to you? It's crazy.
You know.
The year after we played 14.
We still won. I don't know why you brought that up.
No, okay, we lost still one won point.
That doesn't make up for the other 50 points.
But that was closer, I guess.
We lost by one point, right?
We still won.
But no. But you got to understand, they didn't count the field goal. We missed the field goal, but it actually made type shit.
What? Come on, bro.
But they didn't count it.
Come on.
I can lie to you. Talk about it.
I don't know about
RCC
all that.
RCC stand up, man.
Y'all need to lay down. Y'all need to go to bed. 77 to 14.
Like, it was crazy. Like, we didn't even know what was going on.
Bro, y'all should have stood up then. Okay. What is 14 doing right now?
Hold up. Y'all should have stood up then. You said RCC stand up. Y'all should have stood up during that game. Like, what?
It was insane, man.
Okay,
crazy.
So RCC
smacking 14 right now. Guaranteed, bro.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter now. God. Bro, so 45 minutes away from each other in high school, 45 minutes away from in JUCO.
We beat him in high school, too.
Y'all played each other in high school?
Yeah, I forgot.
I don't recall, to be honest.
What was the score?
It was like 40.
Bro.
40, like 12
and look,
or something weird.
Oh, we still in the same spot right now, right? It don't matter what team, what happened. We still in the same spot right now.
He was definitely.
Oh my God.
Like, he was playing corner though. Man.
Hey, what school you go to right now? What school?
University of Miami.
Yeah, and I go there too. Exactly.
Okay.
So that score don't mean nothing.
Y'all didn't know each other in high school.
It's about heart.
Y'all didn't know each other in high school or JUCO, huh?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So y'all grew up not too far from each other. Went to JUCO not too far from each other. He was rated by 24/7 Sports the number 10 player in JUCO. By Rivals, you were rated the number 10 player in JUCO.
Okay.
Y'all both spent 2 years in JUCO. Y'all both went to UCLA. Somehow, y'all both spent 2 years at UCLA.
Yeah.
And then y'all all of a sudden transfer to Miami. Y'all just taking the same journey.
Hey.
Like,
God's the greatest author, man. I couldn't make that up if I wanted
God,
to.
Like, When y'all know y'all were best friends? Like, God meant for y'all to be best friends. Ain't no way. That is pretty crazy, though. I mean, all those, y'all's stories are so similar.
It definitely is. That's crazy.
So similar.
I didn't even know that either.
Yeah, I didn't think about it.
I didn't think about it, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the only difference is one of y'all was whipping the other's ass every time y'all played.
Sometimes it goes.
Y'all had to stand for
sometimes
something.
It go like that.
See,
the thing about me,
y'all should have been like, you know what?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That never put me down.
Bro, and JUCO, y'all might as well have said, you know what? Let's meet in the parking lot after.
No, we almost did.
No, they tried to fight us.
We almost did. They had a police. They had a police. Officer. They had an officer with a shotgun outside trying to stop the fight.
That's crazy.
I would try and fight y'all too, 77-14.
Our coach or their coach or something. It was crazy.
God.
Because, like, they was like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
But we put in, like, it's not like we just run up the score. We put in every play on a team. Every player went in there and went crazy.
You know what? Well, let's move past it. I'm going to start with you. This next question. What inspires you to be, like, who you are, to work so hard and everything? What inspires you in life?
Well, I got two autistic siblings, and just seeing my parents deal with that growing up, like, it'd be very easy to just kind of just throw them away, you know what I mean? Like, put them in, like, a hospital or something, have somebody watching, especially my older sister, and seeing my mom deal with it every day, because she's essentially, like, has the mind of, like a kid, you know what I mean? So my mom has to completely take care of her every day, and she's just like, she's getting old, you know what I mean? And I want to find a solution for her, just something, because you feel me? Like, she's been doing that for so long, and it's like, it's been incredibly hard seeing that. I don't think people understand. And then I think about just being from JUCO, or being on the team, just seeing, like, people would see me lock in, you know what I mean? And just seeing people see me put my head down, lock in, just work, and then just seeing it pay off. I felt like I inspired a lot of people. And I try to bring people with me, you know what I mean? Actually, the other day, one of my close friends just died, just passed away. And it just made me think, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not about me. You know what I mean? I just really, sorry, it's not about me. Like, it's about the young boys, you know what I mean? The people on my team, the people that look up to me, and my family. So, that's really what inspired me.
That's some really, really, really hard stuff. I mean, you know, that you've had to deal with. And I mean, I respect that a lot. You know, I didn't know any of that about you. And, you know, hearing that, it makes me, you know, see you in a different light. You know, it makes me understand you more. Yeah. So, I mean, that's some real stuff right there. Mitch?
Yeah, I mean, from what he was saying about, like, it's not about me. Like, I feel like I have that same thing. That's why I got my last name tatted on my arm, because everything I do is for family. Like, because I'm from Nigeria, you feel me? So, just going back when I went, before I went to Maryland, or before I visited Maryland, I went back, and I usually go back like every 4 years when I was a kid and stuff. But 2019, I went back to see my family, and that was when I was actually older now. Like, so I actually, like, you know, realize the type of lifestyle that I'm living in America, and then the type of lifestyle that my cousins and my family's living in Nigeria, and just seeing, like, the opportunities that I have in front of me. Like, how blessed I am to be in America compared to my cousins and my family members. And it's just like, I had to tell myself, like it's the opportunity is right there on the table. I just got to go and get it. Like, no matter what, like, no matter, like, how hard it is, like, when it's like hard practice or it's hot, I just think to myself, like, man, like, if my mom can, what's called, grind, make all this money and not put it on herself or whatever, she's buying medicine to bring back to her family, then I can go through this workout and I can do this rep right here and I can, you know, get to the league and take care of my family too. So I think that's everything that inspires me is just my family and just my will to, you know, make generational wealth for the fam. And that's it.
That's real. That's real.
You know, I read something up also about you, Mitch. You know, as a kid, you had an accident and you ended up in a coma.
Yeah.
Do you want to, you know, speak on that and how that's like affected your life, you know?
Yeah, long story short, I fell in the coma from a skating accident and was in coma for 3 days. Doctors told my family that I'd be a vegetable my whole life. Like, I wouldn't be able to do any sports. I'll just be like in a tube type thing. And like 3 days later, miraculously, my parents had like a pastor come by, our family pastor come by, pray over me and stuff like that. And then miraculously my brain trauma like went away and I just woke up. So like that reminds me every day when I like wake up that I'm blessed and my purpose in like every day that I'm here, like I gotta be working towards taking care of someone else. Cause like, I know I'm not here just for me. Like I didn't get brought back just to like live my life for me. I'm living my life for my whole family. Like I wanna be, at the end of the day, I wanna be like Grandpa Mitch, you know, got like dumb grandkids grandkids, but just I'm just the source of the family, taking care of my family. Like how my mom is, like my mom is the person that's taking care of all my cousins in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And I wanna be that person in my family that like, you know, takes that over.
That's real. That's real.
You know, I think both of those things, I mean, that almost like, you know, inspires me. I mean, you know, obviously we all deal with different things. We've all had different experiences in life, you know, and not one is the same and affects each person different. You know, and y'all's stories, I mean, those some real life stuff that, you know, y'all have to deal with. And I mean, I respect it 100%, like 100%.
Yeah.
So, you know, the one thing that I always like to do to end it on is, you know, if you could tell one person, just someone out there in the world, a piece of advice, doesn't have to be about football, could be about anything, what a piece of advice would that be? We'll go you first. Yeah,
I mean, one piece of advice that I would say really is just never quit. Like failure is just an obstacle in your brain, because every time you fail, you get closer to your success. You're just learning. Failure is just a tool, really, because like every single time I failed from going from high school to JUCO, that was a failure in my mindset. But then I realized, like, okay, this is what I shouldn't do. I shouldn't just not do my homework. I shouldn't like play games all night and like be tired for practice. So like that taught me, okay, that's what doesn't work. So I'm gonna do this instead, and that's what's gonna help me to succeed. So I've just been following, like every single time I fail, I just got to take notes to what I did wrong. That's going to help me, you know, get better in the future.
100%. I like that.
Caleb? I like what he said about failure, you know what I mean? It's kind of the same thing. High school, like I realized, like if I go home, I'm not going to do my work, you know what I mean? So I stayed at school. Just that's from failing, just learning things like that. But I'd also say just believe in yourself, man. Like, you can't ever let 100%. Something, you can't let self-doubt or anything to make you feel like you can't, you're not worth it, you're not good enough. Like that, I think that's very important to have that mindset that you can do anything. 100%. And not let anybody put doubt in your mind.
Yeah.
I agree with that 100%. I mean, in my life especially, you know, I have a saying, like, bet on yourself. For me, I've always bet on myself. I don't know if y'all know this about me, but like out of high school, like I said, I went to high school. My old linemen were smaller than me. I'm not a big guy. Like, you know, yeah. I come from a Mexican family. I'm about the biggest person in my whole family. And, you know, the community I was raised in is a Hispanic community, and, you know, everybody's around my size. So my high school wasn't really that good, but I didn't have any offers out of high school, not one. I didn't have any letters, like no letters, nothing. I had one phone call like ever from a coach, and it was Herm Edwards. And he was just, you know, telling me basically like, hey, you know,
he just got the job at Arizona State that he, you know, wanted to recruit me. I wasn't on any other list, but it's crazy enough, my dad sent an email to every single Division I football coach in the country. Every single one. Two of them replied. One replied with the phone call. The other replied, hey, you could walk on. And the other one was Arkansas State. And I walked on to Arkansas State. And when I say I was just a scout player, like, I never got any reps, like, ever. I'm talking not one. No reps at all. Like, even when, like, you know, sometimes at the end of, like, scrimmages, they'll put, like, people in. Or, like, you know, hey, fours go up or something like that. Or everybody else that hasn't been in, like, hey, go in. Never took any reps, like, at all. And then when it came to special teams period, usually, like, everybody will get some, you know, work-ins, especially, like, during fall camp, stuff like that. That never was me. I was not on any special teams list, nothing. In fact, I was the guy that they had. I'll never forget it. It was the worst thing ever. They would line up a guy about 10, 15 yards from you, and you'd be holding a shield, right? Well, you know, the red shield. And, you know, the two-gap and drive, you know? That, you know, that part of kickoff, I had to be the guy that hold the shield every single time. Every single practice we did specialty period, that was my job. Every single day. And there was no rotating. No. I'm holding the thing the whole period. Mm-hmm. And they're all rotating, like, all right, DNs now. And then DNs will finish, go to the next station. Corners now. And the coaches would tell them, hey, you knock him on his ass, you ain't got to go again.
What?
So that's like, I had to deal with that. And I just felt, you know, I remember going up to a coach. I don't want to say no names, but I went up to a coach and talked to him. And basically was like, hey, you know, when do you see me playing here? And he said, you know, maybe, you know, your fourth, fifth year, like on special teams. I was like, what? Oh, like, it made me feel like I was not a good player at all. Yeah. Like, at all. It made me feel less of myself and all that stuff. I was like, man, like, am I really not good at football? Like, like, honestly, it made me go into a big self-doubt. And I was like, man, like, screw this. Like, I'm going to prove that guy wrong, you know. And I remember telling him, I told him that I was transferring to Miami. Like, I told him that, you know, I was going to go to Miami because he was asking, like, where I was going to go after I told him I transferred. Because I had a friend here that was already on the team. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'll just email the guy and or one of the recruiting people, you know, to walk on.
Yeah.
And he told me, I swear to you, he said, if you go to Miami, you'd be lucky your redshirt senior year on senior night to go down at one kickoff. He told me that. I was like, dude, I was like, what? I came here.
Yeah, do that.
I bet on myself. I came here. Second game I was playing. Yeah. My second game here. Like, I'm like playing right away. Like, it just, I always had that, you know, I lost that confidence in myself, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to bet on myself. Like you say, you know, have that self confidence. Gotcha. I bet on myself. And, you know, you see what comes from it.
Yeah.
You know, so I relate a lot to what you say, you know, that advice. And I think if people really did apply that, they would see, you know, great things can come from it.
Facts.
Nah, it was real, real good talking to y'all tonight. Thank y'all for coming on. I loved hearing both of y'all's stories, and I hope they, you know, that they enjoy it too.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank
you, man.
Yeah. Thank y'all. Okay. Thank y'all for joining in on this episode of the Ryan Ragone Show. And we'll see y'all later.